Greetings, each of you, by the very means of radio. You're tuned in to Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Body. God bless you on this Monday evening. We have a wonderful program set for you this evening. We pray that all is well with you. Normally, we start off with music, but today let us start off with prayer. Amen, somebody. Now, prayer is always in order. Tonight, we're going to be talking about fruit of redemption. That's right, fruit of redemption. And so we want you to be ready for this conversation tonight. So get your Bibles ready. So when we turn into the book of Galatians, I'll tell you what chapter and verse in a moment. When you turn into the book of Galatians, we're going to be talking about that fruits of redemption. That's right, fruits of redemption. It's going to be a wonderful program this evening. Now let us pray. And we're praying because our nation is still in need of prayer. Our world is still in need of prayer. Hey, I need prayer. You need. We all need prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? Prayer is not just to send up a bunch of requests for God or demands or instructions. It's not to inform God. But it is the petition in which we ourselves are lined up with the will of God to have a communication so that we line up with his will as we share our heart's desire to him, our circumstances, our situations with him, that he in turn will share with us his desire for the things that we ourselves must do. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this Monday program. We thank you for each one by one, name by name, in their respectable places, wherever they may be in the world. God, we thank you now, Lord God, for this platform and Blog Talk, talking from the Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you, Lord God, that we have a media platform like this, that we are able to reach all over the world at one single moment. Truly, this is a great opportunity to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we once was lost, but we don't have to stay lost, that he's been sent, that we could not pay, to redeem us back to the Father. So we want to say thank you today, Father God, for your son Jesus. We thank you for the work, the finished work, the redemption work of the cross, that our debt is paid, Lord God. We thank you now. We thank you, Lord God, that the sin debt is paid for us, and we can be redeemed by receiving what Christ had done for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you today for that finished work. We thank you now. We pray, Lord God, for all of those that tune in to this Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you, Lord God, for the platform. We thank you for each speaker, each person, each director, each producer, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, even for Brother Six himself, our founder. We thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, have put in his heart for this platform, for this type of ministry to go abroad. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have made it so that even in the pandemic when we wasn't able to leave our homes as much, Lord God, that we had a way to still leave our home and connect with one another and on a spiritual level to connect, to have fellowship one with another in your name. And we thank you now. God, you said in your word where you find unity, there you command the blessing. So, God, if we unify our hearts today, if we pray for those that are less fortunate than we are, I pray for those that are still hungry, We're praying for those that still need food on the table, that still need food in their pantry, Lord God. Lord God, those that need food in their belly, that they are hungry right now. We pray, Lord God, for provision. We pray for those connections, Lord God, that continue to send provision. We know oftentimes some are met with hostility and things that will cause the food not to get to the destination. But God, we're praying for the open doors that, Lord God, that the basic needs, the rights of all humans, Lord God, to eat food, to have consumption, Lord God, that be met today, Lord God. Lord God, even in the lowest, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God, even in our country today, as wealthy as it is, Lord God, there are still families that are hungry right now. There's someone that's homeless right now, don't know where the next meal is going to come from, don't know where they're going to get the next set of shoes from. But, God, we're praying that doors be open, Lord God, on their behalf. We're praying, Father God, that you will make a way, Lord God, out of no way. And as you do it, Father God, we just want to say thank you. We thank you now, Lord God, for the things that you do, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the things that you've done and the things that you shall do, Lord God. We love you today, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for always being a way out of no way, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for looking down on us, your people, Father God. And as we go further in this program, God, we pray, Lord God, that the music encourage someone. We pray, Lord God, that they are energized, that they are revived, Lord God. And in the lesson today, we pray, Lord God, that it gives them hope to know, Lord God, that you got the best yet in store for them, Lord God, that you want more for them, Lord God. And so, God, we thank you now, Lord God, to know that you love us so, and you are a good Father. Even as the songwriter, good, good Father, wonderful song, Lord God. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are loved by you, Lord God. Lord God, so you are a good, good Father, and we are loved by you. That's who we are. We are the ones that you love. And because you loved us, oh God, you even commanded your love towards us. So that means that even in the midst of our sins, Lord God, you still love us, oh God. And as we have life in these bodies, it's opportunity to get right with you. And we thank you for the grace that have given us liberty to say we're sorry, to get right, Lord God, to ask you to come into our life and to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Lord God, we thank you now for all that you've done and all that you're yet to do. And Lord God, we pray now that our understanding today will be increased the more. And we love you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. The song says, you're worth fighting for.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Go heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think
You are. knows he's far from perfect. He is trying to live right. He asked me to ask you, Father, would you hear his prayer tonight? He said, tell him that I really need him and I really want to change. The next time you talk to God, would you please mention my name? Would you tell him that I really loved him? And although it's been a while, ask him for me, am I still his child? I asked her how she was doing. She said, not so good lately. Then I told her, girl, you know, you can always talk to me. She said, these days haven't been so happy, haven't had much peace of mind. Now I know that I should be praying, but I haven't had much time. So could you tell me?
Is not for you if you've never cried a river or had your heart broken too. This song is not for you if every day you wake up the skies are blue. But this is for anyone, no matter how you pray, the pain will let you get through. But you try and you try.
Who
But you're a miracle today, and God has always made a way. If you have food to eat, a place to sleep, and you really can't complain.
If you're a miracle.
Thank you. That's from the walls. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. Amen. Many times we listen to different programs, different church programs, and we hear the word Christian, and we assume all the same thing, and it should be. But oftentimes, many people don't know what that ministry stands for or what they believe. And often I like to just reflect the affirmation of faith in which I stand on as a preacher, as a minister, as a man of God. And I like to share it with you at this moment. Amen. Most people know that I am an ordained minister in the Church of God in Christ. And we have an affirmation of faith. And it is such. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. We believe there is only one God, eternally existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and in answer to believing in prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for it. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God will give you himself. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit by whose indwelling the Christian, that's the believer, is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. That's our affirmation of faith. We believe it, we stand on it, and we trust that God would do all that he's going to do. When we say we believe that the Bible is the inspired and only infallible written word of God, we're talking about the original scriptures in the original writings. We're not talking about, for say, translations, whether it be in English, Portuguese, Spanish, German, Italian, whatever. Those are translations, and translations are based on the knowledge of those translating it to their particular language. For the most part, us that speak English, we tried to stand on the King James Version for unity. Many stand on it for other reasons, but the whole purpose was that we will have a united speak. That means when we quote scriptures, we will all be quoting the same thing. But you have the American Standard, the English Standard, the New Living Translation, New International Translation. You have other what's in the English language that are translated. So when we study the Bible and we study from these different translations, it's always good to look up the scrolls, and those are the original words that they are being translated to, so that we can have good content of the word that we're using. Because certain things over the years have changed or have developed. The English language, because it's constantly being used, words are added, meanings are either more defined or redefined in some cases. And so very important for us when we study that we do our due diligence in studying the scriptures. That we, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a work that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Amen. Well, God bless each of you. Having a few difficulties on my board. Missionary Ken, if you unmute your line from your board, if you could, that would be great. Let me know when you do. I want to play this last song here before we get into our study tonight.
Told me.
Amen. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. Amen. I believe
Amen.
That should be all of the testimony. Thank you. God bless you, Missionary Ken. Amen. It's good to hear your voice on this evening. Amen.
And we got Sister Emily with us, too.
All right. God bless you, Sister Emily. Amen. 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 We're going to jump right
in.
Hello,
you got
hello.
Me.
God bless all of you wonderful God's children. Amen. Amen. A friend of mine like to say it like this, you blood-bought trophies of God. Amen. Amen. And so that's what you are to us. Matter of fact, he's sending me a text right now. Amen. It was just coming through as I was saying that. Amen. God bless all of you for being here. Is there a testimony? Before I go into the lesson today, y'all know I love testimony service because I just believe that the goodness of Jesus, as we share it abroad, is there to encourage somebody, me too, amen, that they can overcome whatever it is that they are dealing with in their life. That there's hope,
Amen.
They're still blessed. I'm not going to sing my song, but I am going to open up testimony service. Go right ahead.
Pastor Bonnet, now we're going to see how well you know your Bible, okay?
I don't know it that well. I'm still studying.
The progress we've made on our Bible for the blind, we've officially just finished the 104th chapter of the Bible. Where would that put us?
Well, you say 104th chapter?
Yeah, we finished the 104th. Where would that put us?
Well, that probably puts you in the third book of the Bible. So that means Genesis and Exodus, you have completed. And so that's where you should be. You should be. If we were, you said
104.
Well, that you will be. Yeah, I think you should be in the third book. So,
well, to be exact, we are halfway through the third book. Genesis has 50, Exodus has 40, that's 90, and then you add 14 chapters, which
14.
Is half of 28 of Leviticus, and you get 104.
Yeah, so you should be in the third. Yeah, that's where you should be, in the third book. That's why I said third book.
I want to praise God for that. That's what I want to praise God for, is the progress we're making, and I just wanted to see if you would be able to keep up with me and figure out where I was.
Let's say 13. So you'll be starting on the 15th chapter of Leviticus later on.
That'll be tomorrow's project. We're going to do 15 to 28 tomorrow.
All right. That's good. That is a massive undertaking, one that is definitely a challenge to anyone that's doing any type of reprinting of the word, because although you can read it faster than you can print, unless you're just one of those court reporters, recorders that you know some major shorthand to type stuff while people are talking. It's going to take a little time.
And the thing is, as I go through it, I'm actually listening to each verse. And then we make sure all the editing is properly done. So we're doing a lot of during that process.
Yeah, that's why I say that is a massive undertaking. Because some years ago, I started just studying the Bible one chapter at a time. And, man, that it took so long just to get out of Genesis. It was like, wow, okay. just to get out of Genesis. So it's a massive undertaking. So a lot of these writers that do their commentaries on a particular book out the Bible, you have to give them their credit because as you begin to discuss it, it can be very massive in itself, any particular book, even the smallest ones. So we could take the book of Jude and probably write a whole nother book just from that one single chapter. So may God continue to give y'all strength and wisdom on this project, and we're gonna stay on track with you all to see how's everything going with you as you do it, because we know it's for a great cause, especially the work that y'all are doing, Bibles for the Blind. Amen. And matter of fact, let me pause there and give you a moment to give a editorial on the Bible for the Blind.
All right. Basically, there are different types of Bibles that we have available, and what we try to do is get them into the hands of those who need them at no cost. So it's on our ministry that the cost falls. So what we do is we try to get those out there who have the ability to give to help raise the money for those Bibles. And doing so, you, the individual, can be a great part in that if you wish to donate for a whole Bible or even just a part of whatever you're able to afford. And there's several ways you can do that. First, if you have a PayPal account, you just go to PayPal, you enter the email address, digit 2, then you spell the word for, F-O-R, digit 1, then you spell the word Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. That's the email address you enter, 2 for 1, Katie, at gmail.com. And then you obviously enter the amount of your love gift and put a little note there that you're either sponsoring a Bible or part of a Bible that you wish to get in the hands of a blind person. And then there's the second option you have. If you only have a credit card and don't have a PayPal account, you go to our blind ministry website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, blind.org, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. And you could go at the bottom down there where it has the love offerings link, and you click that, and you're able to use your credit card. And the third option you have is you can send a check payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and on the memo you just put the fact that you're sponsoring a Bible for someone who's blind, and you could get the snail mail address to where you can mail the check right there on our website that we just gave, and you get that right off the contact page where it says contact us, and you can get that information right there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as he said earlier, whatever you give, it would be greatly appreciated. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. And we thank you in advance for all that you do to help ministry to keep going forth. Amen. I heard you, Sister Emily. God bless you. What you got? What you got? You have a testimony?
I got a question for Kenny, just real quick.
Okay.
Hey, Kenny.
All right. Yeah.
Where is it in the Bible where it says who's supposed to be doing dishes?
That's in the book of 1 Kings.
Do you know where it is in 1 Kings, Pastor Bonnet, where it talks about who's supposed to wipe a dish?
All I know
is... Well, Pastor Bonnet, I'll give you the verse. It says, "And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish and turneth it over." So it's us men that got to do the dishes.
So that gets us women out of dish doing.
And what's even worse, Pastor Bonnet, we're supposed to do the coffee. The Bible says Hebrews.
Yeah, he does the brewing. Well, I do the coffee. I'm not doing the dishes.
Then you're not being biblical.
I'm not doing the dish. I do the dish that I use, but I'm not doing the dishes. I raised my children as that was their chore. I will gladly change with them if they pay all the bills. Then I'll wash all the dishes. But that's another matter. That's a whole other matter.
But it didn't. The Bible didn't say if a child, as a child, wipeth the dishes, as a man wipeth the dish. So it's the man supposed to do the dishes.
Well, see how we can solve the whole thing. Just get yourself a dishwasher. And let them do the dishwasher do the work.
I got that. I got one of those, a good one too, Frigidaire. Yeah, it's in there. And I guess you do wipe the dish. Is there a difference between wiping the dish and washing the dish?
Well, I guess you could classify that wiping the dish to put it into the dishwasher. I guess that qualifies.
Or you can soak the dishes and rinse them and put them away. I mean, that's what a lot of women do if they don't have a dishwasher.
That way we can truly have a united front. She wash, I wipe. There you go.
Oh.
Don't let find out about that verse, because she finds that out, she's going to make you do dishes.
And listen, I am afraid, because I don't mind doing house chores. I grew up doing dishes and sweeping the floor, vacuuming the floor. I still do those chores today, so I don't mind doing it. I don't believe that anything in my house is too big or too little for me to do. So, for its chores. And so it's just over the years, we have signed those out. And since I had boys, they were men. So, it was still being fulfilled. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's get into our
lesson
tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I do have a testimony tonight.
Well, I asked you that earlier. You said you had a question for Ken.
Yeah, but I
also
have a testimony too, dear.
Come on with your testimony.
I went to the doctors today, and he said that everything's looking good, but he's gave me a bunch of tests he wants me to go through, so like I told him, I don't want to do them, but in the Word, it does say you got to be obedient to those that have rule over you, which includes the doctor.
Yeah.
So I guess I got to be obedient to the Word, too. I said, I got a pastor and his wife that I call my earthly spiritual mom and dad, but if I ain't obedient to the Word, I might get a switch.
Yeah.
And
you know, I love
you getting
a switch. Amen.
And I know Kenny's wife cracked to that. He's got plenty of switches out back.
That's right. But we want you to do right with your doctors. What's the point of having a doctor to help you with your health, whatever it is, whether it's physical health or mental health, and they give you instructions to do, and you don't follow the instructions?
Exactly.
If you're not going to follow instructions, then you need a new doctor or a new physician, one that you will trust and one that you will follow. Same way with your pastors. If you had a pastor and you didn't want to do the things that the pastor asked of you, okay, well, it's good for you to just find a different pastor, because the Bible said rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. And so we don't want to be spiritual witches by being in rebellion. And rebellion is simply the very root of sin. Sin itself is rebellion against God. And so we don't want to do that. So we want to do as much as we can to follow instructions. Are we going to always get it right? No. Are we going to make some mistakes? Yes. But thanks be to God that his grace and his mercy renews every morning. And he finds grace for us. Amen. And we simply ask God to help us to be obedient. Help us to follow instructions. And in so many areas, you know. We can use that when it comes down to driving our vehicles, speeding on the highway, you know. So all of these things, we can just ask God for help, and he's there to help us. You know, when we classify sin, when we talk about sin, so many times sin, when people hear the word sin, they instantly go to hell. But Even sin itself, every punishment of sin is not, and I repeat, every punishment of sin is not a sentence to hell. It's not a sentence of damnation. We was already condemned. That's why Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to condemn the world," because the world was already condemned. So he didn't have to come to condemn us. So there's other scriptures in the New Testament that teaches that we're to pray for one another in our errors, because every error don't mean God is throwing you away. And I think that's where a lot of people get it twisted and get it confused, because you did something wrong, they want to throw you away, but God didn't throw us away. He doesn't throw us away like that. And so we have to get away from that mindset. So often we want to try to control people. So we put certain rules out there and say, oh, you're going to hell because you're not following this or you're not following that. Well, we have to read the Bible. Those that are going to hell are the fallen angels and those who won't repent. Simple. Very short list. Maybe many people on that list, but a very short list. So if you repented, for your sins, that means you have redemption. Amen. And tonight we're talking about fruits of redemption. Amen. Being redeemed.
Hey, Dad.
Yes, I'm. Last
before
interruption.
You, before
I was already
you get started. I'm sorry about
I already
that.
Okay.
I was just going to ask you, as well as the listeners, to be praying for the young lady that lives downstairs from that, my dad. She's in the ER, and they're running a bunch of tests on her because she has a condition called sarcoidosis.
Okay.
And they think she's had a real bad flare-up, so I haven't heard anything else yet.
All right. Well, Father, we send our prayers to the young lady that you will reveal to those in the ER what's going on with her so that she will have the necessary medical attention that she needs to recover, and give her strength to bounce back and allow her health to return to her. These things we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet, I did find that verse exactly where it's located. It's 2 Kings 21 and verse 13.
All right. That's the he that washed the dishes. Yeah, that's the 2 Kings.
That's it. That's where you find that men do the dishes. 2 Kings 21, 13. There's biblical proof that men have to do the dishes.
Okay, and I just want to give a real fast testimony that I want to praise the Lord for all he's been doing to help me lately, and that's all I'm going to do, just make it short.
Thank you, Sister Ruth. Amen. Thanking God for all that he has done to help me. Amen. I think we all can take a page out of that book there to give God recognition for all that he has done in us and through us, because truly we would not be here today if it had not been for the Lord. Amen. All right. Do you have your Bibles? Do you have your Bibles with you? And if so, then open up your Bibles now as we journey together in the word of faith. Amen.
Well, my Bible wouldn't fit in my lap. That's got 18 volumes. It's Braille.
Well, you got to find which volume that has Galatians in and put that one in your lap or on your tabletop as you sit at the table.
I mean, I think Galatians to Revelation is one volume, right?
All right. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And our study today will come from verses 22 all the way to chapter 6, verse 10. But I'd like to add to our study today a few things after I read the first two verses. Again, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and verse 22 read, but the fruit, and that's singular, of the Spirit is. So here's a fruit, a singular fruit, that has multiple attribution or benefit. This one fruit brings so much more to the table. We know when we eat a banana, we're going to get potassium. We eat an orange, we're going to get vitamin C. We eat an apple, we're going to get vitamin A. So we know in fruit, it adds something that is beneficial for our bodies. But today, fruits of redemption is the title of the message. But it's really one fruit. Once again, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." I know I lost 95% of the crowd because they asked, how is long-suffering a benefit? We'll come back to it. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So these are nine attributes or nine benefits of the one fruit of the Spirit. It says that against such there is no law. That means we can find laws. There's a law to gravity. There's a law, or, you know, what goes up must come down. There's a law, universal law, that tells us that if we don't breathe, we won't have oxygen in our lungs, and we won't be able to live. So there's some certain laws in this world that are universal. I mean, they apply to all of us. Even the law of aerodynamics. In order to stay up in the air, and you be not a bird with wings, there's certain principles that you must apply in order to stay in the air. But eventually you succumb back to that first universal law of what goes up must come down. So there are laws in this world, but God said in his word, these nine benefits, for them, there are no law. So there's no law about love or against love. There's no law against joy. There's no law against peace. And the one that I know that is the mind, that mind-blowing for most is long-suffering. There's no law against long-suffering. No law against gentleness. There's no law against goodness. There is no law against faith. There's no law against meekness. And there is no law against temperance. Nowhere is it written that you cannot stay temperate. That means self-control. There's no law that says that you cannot be meek or kind. You know, there's no law that over here you got to be nasty and curse everybody out. Nah, there's no law. And these things happen to those that are redeemed. They are made available to you through redemption. That means Christ's work on the cross made available for you and I the opportunity to operate without law, the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, let me touch that one concerning long-suffering. What can be under the auspice of long-suffering? Well, let's think for a moment. There are people in this world that don't have a lot of money. And maybe they live on a fixed income. Or maybe they live on the charities of others. Not because of laziness, but because of that's their circumstance in the environment or land that they live, or that's their circumstance due to their physical health. It could be their circumstance because of their economy don't have the wherewithal within it to provide for them anymore. Because they are from poor countries where people are not sure about what's going on because there's droughts in their land, food shortages in their land. So they're dependent many times on neighboring countries to pour in resources to their land. So it will be safe to say that the same God that loves us that have wherewithal loves them that have very little at all. Dare I say, even nothing at all. So long-suffering can be to those that was born without certain limbs and not have the mobility that others have naturally. Maybe those that started out whole, but because of one reason or another, they are now living their life without either limb or ability to hear or ability to see. There are those that live in constant pain due to an injury, due to certain degenerate diseases that have attacked their bodies, but yet they still have hope and faith in Almighty God to provide for them their daily bread, to keep them from throwing in the towel, giving up on life. For them is giving the ability to suffer long. I once heard a story about an individual who was in a wheelchair because they did not have their limbs and was going through certain things and was dependent on their spouse to do certain things for them. And then the spouse ended up having challenges in their life. And from that, their situation got a little bit worse. And they were still witnessing Jesus Christ. And somebody asked them, why are they still trusting God? They brought up their circumstance to them about how many times they had to go to the doctor, how many times they had to go through this, about the hardness of their life. And their simple response was that God was still good, irregardless to the life that they currently had. That they considered the fact that because they were still living, that they were still living by the grace of God. Thereby, they were still thankful unto God for even the harshness of the life that they were living. Now, it takes God for sure to give you strength like that when your disability is a result of something that had nothing to do with your actions or your non-taking care of yourself. But yet, they had the ability to continue to enjoy life because God gave them strength to endure long suffering. They had joy in life that God has given them. They had peace in the life that God has given them. And although their circumstances was happened because of others, they had forgiveness, they had goodness, they had faith. They had none of those things that would cause them to have a negative attitude about their life. Because they indeed had the gift of redemption. And to be redeemed was so high on their list of appreciation for God that the circumstances of their life did not matter. Now, I read those two verses, but allow me to back up. Within this same chapter to verse 14. Now, we just read that there's no law against these nine principles or nine acts of the one fruit of the Spirit. Verse 14 in chapter 5 of Galatians says, for all the law, okay, now we're talking about law again. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love. I'm going to stop right there because it said one word. So love, which kicks off the primary function of the fruit of the Spirit, is the key to fulfilling the law of God. Love. It says, for all the law, all of the law. So just say whole law. Not part of it, not some of it, but all of it. All of the law is fulfilled in one word, love. Even in this, thou shalt love, and it specifies, because we know the greatest of commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And the key word again was love, all thy soul and mind. So we're to love God first above all, with everything that we are. The second of the greatest of commandments is equal to it, and it is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus taught this is the fulfillment. And so here, the Apostle Paul is reiterating that to us once again. He says, for the law is fulfilled, completed, in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk. That means live. This walk is the walk of life. This walk is how we are to live by. So this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in your nationality, your country, your understanding, upbringing, but walk in the Spirit. And that's not to say any of those other things was quote-unquote wrong or bad. But the most excellent way to live life is to live it in the Spirit. Romans said, therefore now there is no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we are encouraged to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill. Uh-oh. There go that word fulfill. The lust of the flesh. Now let me look at that word lust so that we are on the same page concerning lust. Now, we know that the three areas of sin are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know that. Okay? In fact, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? And so we know that we are in this world, but Matthew 6 and 24 tell us no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. It says ye, which means you cannot serve God and mammon. That's wealth or money. Don't mean you can't have wealth. Don't mean you can't have money, but you can't serve money. See, too often we live our life chasing the dollar instead of just making the dollar. God gave each of us the gift to attain wealth, especially the wealth that we need to fulfill our obligations in life. But we can't chase money because money is not the walk that we're supposed to be walking after. We're supposed to be walking after the Spirit. Now, again, lust is the intense, strong, unbridled desire. Usually it's indicated towards sex. But since there's lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh, it is an intense longing, okay, or craving. So it's when the desire is so intense that it makes you not wait. See, love will let you wait to have sex, but lust almost rapes someone, almost take it by force. See, true love can be patient, or it is patient. Think about the things that you love in life. The one thing that you do for the things that you love in life, you make time for it. But when it's surrounded by lust, you take time. When you don't make time, you take it. You take it by force. You move in the moment. And when that moment is gone, then the desire is usually gone. Shopping in the candy store. Impulse buying. The reason why grocery stores have product in the lane as you're coming to the cash register. Not because they didn't have room on the shelves, but because they know that many people are impulsive, and if they see the right thing without thinking twice, they'll grab it, and it's on the belt, and it's purchased. And that happens with even those who walk into the store and says, here's my list. I'm only going to buy this. And that lust for that chocolate or that favorite bag of chips, it'll speak to you as you're coming through that line. And before you know it, you've already gone against your own list. So lust is a dangerous thing. Lust is a thing that make you violate law. Lust. And so let's get back into our lesson. Now, this Bible truth, Paul said that whenever possible, we should work for the good of all, especially for those in the family of faith. So he's teaching us this, and we pick back up in 24, on verse 24. Matter of fact, I just start over again, verse 22, which was our starting verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust, with the affections and lust, excuse me. And they that are Christ have crucified. That word crucified means put to death the flesh. The challenge for believers, those of us that are Christ, a.k.a. Christians, our job as born-again believers is to crucify our flesh. With the affection and lust. Here's why. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be deservers of vain glory. In other words, that's that pride, vain glory. That's that attitude. Let us not provoke one another to envy or envy one another. So I'm not to provoke you in a sense of jealousy. I'm not to go you into a fight to say, well, I ain't going to do that. What you going to do? That's what that means. Provoking someone to an act of violence or indiscretion. We're not to envy one another. I'm not to envy Missionary Ken because of his ability, and he's not to envy me because of mine. He has what God designed for him, and I have what God designed for me. And when we realize that to its fullest, then we don't lust for other people's ability. I can't say, man, I wish I could ride a bike like Ken, man. Man, he got this blind trucking business. But I don't know what Ken has to endure in his long suffering. I don't know the challenges that he has to stay in faith. I don't know how often he has to manage his temperance. But see, when I begin to envy him for what he has, I overlook all that God has already in me. And I really, it tells God it's not enough. Here's the danger of that, is when we are telling God it's not enough, it makes us not use what he's already given. Consider the three servants that was given each talent. The Bible records one was given one talent, another was given three talents, and another was given five talents. The one with the five, he reproduced 10. The three with five. And the one, he buried his one talent. He envied what others had. And his excuse was the character of the person that gave it to him. And the teaching was you at least could have gave the talent, which is money, to the bank, where the bank would at least produce some type of interest. So at least when I came back to get it, it would have been more than what I left it. Whatever state you're in now, God wants more from you than when he left you. In other words, if God bless you to be on a fifth grade reading level today, he expects effort from you to at least get to a sixth grade level. You can't say, well, I ain't smart enough to graduate. I ain't like this one. I don't have the education this one has. No. But some people know this. Many don't. My mother at one time only had an eighth grade education. But that did not stop her from reading to my brother and I the bedtime Bible stories before she put us to bed at night. That did not hinder her from taking us to church. And when we didn't have reliable transportation, she didn't burden others to come pick us up. We walked to the local church in the area where we lived. Because Mama said that going to church and serving the Lord and learning of God, it was our duty. It was our responsibility. So God gave her grace. She didn't cry about didn't having transportation. She didn't cry about having to go down to the grocery store, walk. And in these days, you know, they didn't let you take your baskets away. And she would walk home with three bags of groceries in her hand. When we got a little older, we was there to help her. But did not make excuses. Did not say, well, so-and-so got a car I can't do. Taught us how to use public transportation. Because life keeps going on. Let me keep on. Now we're over in chapter 6 now. And the Apostle Paul says, brethren. So he's talking to believers. Now, fruits of redemption, those of us that have been redeemed. Paul picks up here. He's talking to us. Now we get to a point of obligation. Okay? Because we're walking in the Spirit of God, there's an obligation for us as believers. Brethren, if conditional. A man, this word man don't mean just male. This word man is mankind. A man is a person. Be overtaken in a fault. Fault. I mean, they do something wrong. They get caught up in the wrong thing. Yeah, he's married. He ain't had no business messing around with that single woman. He failed. Yes, they ain't had no business getting drunk. Yeah, they ain't had no business getting high. All of that. Yes, they shouldn't lie on their taxes. Whatever it is. If a man be overtaken in a fault. The word overtaken means they fell prey to it. It overtook them. They knew better. Yeah, they knew better. But yet they still made a mistake. So they was overtaken. Maybe they didn't apply certain principles in their life, and they wasn't walking in the Spirit, and they got caught up in their flesh, and they stayed in there too long. And they made some grave mistakes. One of the reasons why many people leave the church is because when they make mistakes, the people in the church throw them away. Look at them as if they can no longer be loved. And that's not how God look at us at all. Because Christ died for all of our dirty deeds. All of our dirty deeds. He knew how many, he knew aforetime just how bad we were. And yet he still dies for us. So, brethren, that's those of faith, if a man be overtaken in a fault. And I want to point out, it's that if a man, so it don't even really apply to just another believer. A man be overtaken in a fault. Ye, which mean you, which are spiritual, restore. Doesn't say condemn. Doesn't say ridicule. It does not say ostracize. It does not say excommunicate. It says restore. So restoration is a primary responsibility to the believer. Because he said, brethren, restore such a one. Here's how we're going to restore them. In the spirit of meekness. Uh-oh. That means you got to do this by the fruit of the Spirit. Because one of the attributes is meekness. Number eight is meekness. So if you try to restore them, but you're nasty, you're condescending, that ain't meekness. Now, let us go on, because he clarifies this for us so we'll understand. Considering thyself. In other words, what if it was you? What if? Yeah, I know you think you're Jesus Jr., but what if for this moment, that moment, you made a mistake? Don't matter whether it was big or little, you made a mistake and you're ashamed of it. And it getting known. And now you want to run away from the church. Now you want to find new friends and everything. So what if it was you? What if you messed up in the family? How do you want them to treat you? So he says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2. This is the responsibility of the saints that are mature. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. Take, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So now here it is, the law of Christ is that we learn to bear one another's burdens. In other words, let me walk with you while you're on the road of recovery. Let me pray with you while you're on the road of recovery. Let me believe God with you and encourage you to keep on keeping on. Let me not let you fall by the wayside, but let me walk with you. Three says, for if a man think himself to be something, he has a spirit of pride. See, three areas of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here it is. For if a man think himself to be something when he is, and the word is, nothing. And it simply applies not that you're nothing, but that you think you are more than what you are. So if I'm 5'4" and I think I'm 6'4", I'm going to come up real short of reaching that goal. Think I'm tall, and so I'm trying to do stuff as if I'm tall, and at the end of the day, I'm really looking foolish because I think I'm tall, and I'm acting like I'm tall when I'm short. And there's nothing wrong with me being short, but I need to realize who I am, where I am, so I can be who God made me, thing else. And yeah, I'm actually 5'4" and a half. Give me my hair. Give me my hair. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's no fool. Well, they say no fool like an old fool, but there's no deception worse than self-deception. It's one thing for people to deceive you and get by, but when you start deceiving yourself, that's a super, super bad thing. But let every man provoke his own provoke his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, I don't need to take your credit for you putting up your 10. You cut 10 things of wood, and I cut 5. I don't need to take credit for your 10. Because maybe you've been doing that for 10 years. And you're supposed to be able to do 20. But you only done 10 today. I don't know. I need to take stock in the 5 that I was able to do for the first time. And recognize that I got room to grow so that I don't be envious of your accomplishment. So when you stop looking at what other people are doing and focus on what you're doing, then you can have a better understanding of what God has truly blessed you with. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him in the word communicate also him that teacheth in all good things. So that kind of falls on myself as a teacher, as a student of God's word, to ensure that I'm teaching others that's learning, that I take time to communicate it and don't just think that you got it or read the Bible for yourself. No. Yeah, you should. But since he has allowed me to have understanding, it comes upon me to help your understanding. Why? Because maybe someday I may need your understanding in something else. So we are helpers one to another. It said, be not deceived. God is not mocked whatsoever. Somebody needs to say that. Whatsoever. whatsoever a man soweth. That. So in other words, if you sow collard greens, you're not finna get turnips. I mean, you're not finna get cabbage. You're gonna get collard greens. If you sow greens, that's what you're gonna get. If you sow tomatoes, you're not gonna go out there and find oranges. Tomato come off the tree. I mean, tomatoes come off the vine. Oranges come off the tree. You ain't gonna find it. It's not gonna be the same. Whatsoever, and never dilation of time for that orange tree to really develop. It may take 2-3 years, but you can plant that tomato vine and get a harvest the next season. So everything has its own timing too. But be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So are you sowing love? Then you're going to reap love. Are you sowing joy? Then you're going to reap joy. Are you sowing peace? Then you're going to reap peace. Are you sowing discord amongst the brethren? Then there shall be discord fall in you. Are you sowing deceit? Then you shall be deceived. So be not deceived. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 3 more verses here, 8, 9, and 10. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's why we're to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because if we're walking in the Spirit, we're sowing in the Spirit. But if we're walking in the flesh, then we're sowing in the flesh. And when we're sowing in the flesh, corruption is due to come. But if we're sowing in the Spirit of God, everlasting life is on its way. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I love to say this like this. If you are weary then you just may be not doing well. And if you're not doing well, you should be a little weary. If you're doing well, that means you examine your workload and you gave God from your heart your best. Then you ain't got nothing to worry about. You don't have anything to worry yourself about. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap. If, conditional, so don't give up because you haven't seen your fruit of your labors yet. It's in due season that is coming. God knows when your due season is due. He knows when you need what you need. He knows the right timing. For ye shall reap if we faint not. 10, and we're completed. As we have therefore opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, all people, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let us do good to everybody. But show enough, let us be good to one another as believers. We may have different backgrounds. You may be Baptist, I may be Pentecostal, you may be Presbyterian, you may be Methodist. If we all believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross is a finished work, it don't matter. If we believe that he died for our sin and arose with all power of life and death, the other stuff doesn't matter. Because we have the foundation, which is the same. We have the structural foundation. Then we learn to respect one another's choices. And we keep pressing towards the mark of a high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Love you. God bless you. God keep you. I know I have Missionary Ken on the line. I'm going to pause for a moment. Maybe he has some insight or input that he would like to add to the lesson today. And if not, I may play a song and close us out. Missionary Ken, is there anything that you would like to share concerning our lesson?
Yeah, I just want to say it was a good message. And also, just in case anyone else would like to say something, I do have the mics open, Emily, as well as we got Brother Six.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Six. Pray all is well with you on this wonderful evening.
Thank you, Pastor. As always, I would suggest everybody listen back before you go to bed. Listen back to Motivation and Money with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. That's what I'm going to be doing, as always. And new rules. And I'm just going to give you some examples. And thanks for listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our new listeners, our old listeners, people that's going to listen later on, like I, before I go to sleep. So when you go to a concert, who's your favorite singer, Wolfgang? Who's one of your favorite singers, Jim Nabors?
Well, I don't have a specific. Most of the time I don't even go to a concert. I just get my music, whether wherever it is, and I just play it at home.
Okay, okay. Emily, who's some of your favorite singers? So the point I'm making is once the concert starts and once the album starts, it continues. So new rule, once the Pastor Bonnet starts speaking, all mics are muted and hold your questions till later on. And that's going to be the new rule so everybody can enjoy the message. And it's good for radio because one thing I've never seen, and I've seen Prince in concert twice, I've never seen Prince stop to answer a question once he started singing. And he'll say, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, thanks for coming. Everybody claps here. But once he starts singing, he doesn't stop to answer questions or anything like that. So new rule. Once the pastor starts speaking, mics will be muted, and then we hold our questions till later on. And thank you for listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. Amen. Once again, we are thankful for you being a part of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. Should you like to contribute to help keep sponsoring programs like this one, we ask that you would do it through one or two applications. And at this time, we're going to ask none other than Six himself to give you those outlets.
All right. You have two options. If you use the PayPal platform, the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, the number 6@gmail.com. Once again, for PayPal users, that's $SIX. Excuse me. For the PayPal, the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, the number 6, at gmail.com. No amount is too big or too small. Now, for the Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the number 2, the number 4. For Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the number 2, the number 4. Thank you.
Amen. And as always, no amount is too big or too small, and it's greatly appreciated. We thank you for all those of you that have contributed to the programming in the past, and we thank you. And we ask that you will continue to sow your seeds into this fertile ground. We thank you. We ask for your continuous prayers that we will continue to grow ever faithfully. Hey, we love all of you. It is our time to go. Kim Burrell is going to see us out for the last minute. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ. Until next time, be faith, faith, faith. Trust God.
When the time comes for us to pray, we find other things to say instead of giving thanks for what God has already done. We're asking for more, but with a grateful heart we ought to pray, Lord, let your will be done. And if you never give me another thing, I'll just thank you for forgiving me. Enough to say, Lord, I know that I'm in your perfect will. I want to be in your will, realizing as ungrateful as I've been, forgiving you has removed all sin. And I vow right now to never
God bless you all. Have a good night. Can end the program.